Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. This would be the 23rd of April. Next week, of course, we'll be in San Francisco, so there won't be a show. Maybe on Thursday there will be, but on Friday there definitely won't be any, or Sunday there won't be one because I won't be around. We're going to be up in San Francisco doing our thing. Come and join us for the Conscious Living Expo. On Saturday I'll be speaking. So anyhow, we're going to continue on with last week, and then we got brand new stuff.
But it can be realized into the flesh. The moment that it's realized into the flesh is when you have a thought. That's where a thought occurs. Not when it's in your brain, when it gets in your body. If it don't get to your body, you ain't got it. Okay? That's what happens to people when they goof up on hard drugs sometimes. They become very mental and no physical, and they burn up. They get so hot, the brain gets so hot, it melts. Especially a speed user, a person taking uppers, barbiturates. You ever seen their brains? They're liquid after a while. They burn up. They melt like jelly, putty. Okay? So, we now understand how our brain works a little bit. Well, we now know that we have three channels for three different rates of combustion. Channel number one is the... Well, I'll start with the lowest first. Channel number three. Channel number three is called the autonomic nervous system. It is responsible for subconscious, pragmatic thoughts, like beat heart, breathe lungs, feel feet, move voice box, move tongue, digest food, things like that. Okay? These minerals are minerals providing the fire to put the energy down through the tubes are calcium, copper, iron, low vibration minerals, but very necessary. You remove them, the heart quits, you know, things like that. So you need those things. That's your thoughts. You don't really think about them in the conscious part, but the subconscious part of your body is thinking about them constantly. And the realization of that thought is the movement of the heart. So every time the heart realizes what it's supposed to do, it beats. Right? That's how the heart works. This is synchronized. The rate of the beat is a whole other topic. It's another seminar, as a matter of fact. Now, the next thing that happens is we have middle vibration metals like chromium, molybdenum, vanadium. Thoughts occur because they go through the sympathetic nervous network. And thoughts occur of survival. I've got to go to the store now. Hello, how are you? Gee, isn't it nice today? Mechanical things that take place as a necessity of communication so that we know from a verbal level how to direct each other into something or doing someone or having an event together. You know, necessary pragmatic speech patterns and thought patterns. That's the middle vibration of the spectrum of metal. Then we have the high vibration, which runs through what we call the parasympathetic nervous network, the higher thoughts. These are thoughts of, I am selfless, I as a being, God, creation, love, the higher forms of love, healing, brotherhood. You know, service, things like that. That's what occurs when gold burns up inside your brain, or titanium burning up inside your brain, or any of the precious elements of the universe. And there's, of course, the, you know, what they call the rare earths that are in minute presence in our bodies that fall in that realm, like europium and things like that, the higher, highest form. Well, we get deficient in minerals. A person might be deficient in one band of minerals and not in another. So it becomes very hard for modern science and the medical doctor especially, because he has no training in the nutrition, let alone electricity, other than the things ionized. He doesn't really know what the spectrum of vibrations are. He can't, by the personality, look at and tell what the person is deficient in minerals, so they just dump them all on you, and that doesn't do any good either. You've got to know what you need. you know. If you put too much iron in your blood, you get constipated, you know. So different things happen, so we have to become aware of that. Well, this is another area that the pyramid came in, because the pyramid always seems to balance out the rate of mineral assimilation by the body, even though the person doesn't know what they're doing. I know I didn't for a long time. And it allows the body to digest and burn these minerals off through the nervous system very naturally and without any complications. It helps undo a lot of complications. Now, going back here, we see here electricity, the aura. Now, the aura has electrical, electrostatic, and ionic qualities, as photographed by Kirlian photography. The aura changes by attitudes of mind and emotion, nature of environment, contents of foods and liquids digested. So you begin to see what changes the aura. Now, let's look at a thing called mutual induction. Okay? So we have mutual induction here. Here's a wire with magnetism, right? Here's a wire. Now, in a body, these wires are called axons, A-X-O-N-S, axons. There are 72,000 nadis, okay? A nadi is a path of an axon in the body. So there's 72,000 major paths. Now, there's millions of minor little nerves going throughout the body, but there's 72,000 major nerves in the three nervous systems. These axons have what's called a myelin sheath on them. It's made out of lecithin. So when you take lecithin, you're supplementing that myelin sheath. Inside, there's these little node points called nodes of Renier. And there's little power amplifying stations all along the way in these nodes. So, up here is the brain, up here. It shoots a signal down, and the signal is amplified like that. So, we need nutrition in the body. So we have to work in harmony with one another, in ourselves too. Meaning that we may have a thought of God, so we get a God vibration coming down the line. But we better have to get God down to where it's supposed to go, cleanse the feet, right? So we can assimilate it in our being rather than be aware of it intellectually. We've got to remember our harmonics. Well, God thoughts, let's say, are vibrating like this. Okay, then we've got to have the middle range because we've got to feel God. We've got to become, number one, aware of God. Now we've got to feel God. I'm just using God as an example because it's wherever God is to you. To me, it's a high wavelength, okay, on one level. So the next thing is that we got to get the, if the gold went off, then we better have a piece of, say, chrome go off at the same time in harmony with that. So chrome would now be a slower wavelength. But if you're in harmony with yourself, there are, there's chords inside the body. The body's becoming a musical instrument now, starting to play it. Then we got to breathe with God. There's the breath of God. So now some iron and copper has to explode. So it might go once, like this. And then, of course, it would appear again, maybe 25 times down. So now we are thinking and feeling and breathing in the spirit at this point. We're in it 100%. So what happens is the brain up here is triggered to hear, and the axons of myelin sheath are these power stations. The power stations are along here, the middle vibrations in these nodes of Renier. And then the low vibration is the peristalsis action, this thing going down to wherever it's supposed to go. Now, on one level, thought is like instantaneous, but it takes a while for it to reach the feet. As a matter of fact, the rate that this takes place is about 200 miles an hour going down to the feet. And so you're dealing from the body's ability to take an instantaneous situation and demodulate it down to a 200 mile an hour pulse. Which is pretty damn amazing. I've never seen a scientific lab yet anywhere come even close to duplicating this. You know, I've seen parts of it in linear accelerator, but I've never seen a complete system working like this. But it could be built with existing technology if man totally understood his own body to this degree. Okay? Now, the elements in here are potassium, phosphorus, and sodium. These are the elements that you need in order for this wavelength to work in the axon. So these, of course, sodium, potassium, phosphorus, all fall in the lower spectrum. So not only are they now found in the brain to burn and release that thought, to light off that atomic bomb that's God, but they're also found throughout the nervous system too. So you begin to see now how your base metals work in conjunction with the elements in your brain. And I can post another lecture of the brain. We're just covering it lightly today. Now, let's look at the body. Oh, by the way, you ever pick up a telephone and you hear two conversations at once? That's crosstalk. That would happen in your body if the myelin sheath broke down under nervous stress two nerves short-circuited one another. They should never do that. That happens to people when they have a nervous breakdown. The first symptom of this is ringing of the ear, tinnitus. And that's because the hearing nerve system, I think it might be number 3, the olfactory nerves, when it goes together with the sheath breaking down, you hear it in your ears first. So you can just take lecithin and reverse that right away. A lot of lecithin will help that. Now, there is an electrical action which is external from the inside here that's very necessary. This is where the aura is built now. Now, this is a higher body. Okay. So here's the nerve here, and this is the outside, the myelin sheath right here, and here's the nerve here. Here's the same comparison. Here's two wires of electricity, ordinary wires in a laboratory. If we put a magnetic, if we hook a battery up, plus and minus, here, we have a magnetic field here, right? What we talked about in the beginning of the lecture. Okay. Down here, we don't have any wire at all, or any battery at all. But we can measure electricity down here because this field will go down and encompass that. And this wire will appear to have a battery on it. This is called mutual induction, this principle right here. Now, if I have two batteries here, okay, another phenomenon occurs. You don't, a lot of people would say, well, if I had, let's say I had a 2-inch field here and it's, you know, inducing down here, then obviously if I energize this lower one, I have another 2-inch field, and that makes a 4-inch field. That's what logic tells us, right? 2 plus 2 equals 4. So now if I have two nerves inducing on each other, I have a measurable field of 4. It's not true. It's square in proportion to itself. Here, in this case, 2 times 2 is 4. But if you had 3 of them, okay, now you have 2 times 2, 4 times 2 is 8. So the power went up to 8, and so on. Now if you had 4 of them, it goes up. So you get to 12. When you get 12 nerves working together, the energy is so incredible that it's devastating. So as a result, around the body, you can turn this thing off now, we have 72,000 wires here. So you get this huge field of energy going all around your body. And of course, we take pictures of it. It's Corellian photography at the fingertip. It's very easy to photograph that field. It's very easy. Now, in the body, this field of energy changes. Okay? On one level, it's magnetic because we are magnetic when we think. If you put a magnet to your mind, sometimes you can notice a happening there. Now, at the rate we think and exchange our ideas with each other, causes another thing. This causes the magnetic field to go so fast that it changes into pure light and color. But the average person cannot sense individual colors. In other words, if you could look out in the light and see, without the use of a prism, the 7 different colors of the rainbow, then you could easily look at another human being and see their aura, because you had a sensitivity that was narrow band rather than broad band. Most people have broad band sensitivity, and they see the 7 colors coming from the sun as one integrated color, white. So unless we take special means and break it down with a prism or a pinhole or something like that and separate the light rays, you never see them. Well, some people can do that, and that's how come you can see the colors of the aura on the body. Now, while mutual induction created from one junction of electricity to several, And you should know where the electricity is coming from now, the colon, the brain, and the frequency. You should have a pretty good understanding how the body is working now as a system. Now, if we have 72,000 major wires in there, that we have a huge aura. And that can be built or raised or lowered depending on the karma of an individual. Now, if I have two people in a room, then I have a double aura. I have an effect of them. If I have three people, I have an effect. If I have 40 people, I have a huge aura. Okay? So now we have what we call a group aura, a group feeling, which we have in here right now. So we get high on the feeling. You'll get a lot higher in here as a group sharing than you would coming in here and sitting by yourself all day. Okay? Because we're all sharing a high feeling. Now, that gives us a group personality. All of us through energy have personalities. Our rate of our personality expression determines the color which we emit. Sometimes we're expressing violet, sometimes we're red. Now we'll get into what that is a little later on. There's definitely a way to tell what color goes to what attitude. But just realize that there's a lot of color changing at this point in time. Now, we have a group vibration. But pretty soon we have a community vibration, right? Now, that community vibration can be raised with the whole community to the enema, right? The enema buddies. Isn't that true? Because it'd be clear. So it raised the community vibration way up. Or you could have everybody have an epidemic right now. Everybody could be sick. So we could have a sick feeling. It would be a negative aura. The North Pole would go down here somewhere. It shifts off. That's what it does. The more negative, it can be upside down and then you're inverted. It's upside down. You see everything upside down, you know. Inverted personality. So that aura can move up and down. The polarity of the aura moves around. It's never always at the top. It's supposed to be at the top, but it moves pretty frequently on people.
Well, we'll go ahead and flip it on to the next section here. And stop that puppy. And away we go. Just got down here in time to change this tape out. Yes, sir. Now we're going to another location, the Total Health Expo. 2002, 8 years ago. Are you there,
Dr. Bell has researched the field of anti-aging medicine and advanced pyramid technologies. Dr. Bell will discuss how to live a more conscious, healthier, and happier life. Dr. Bell.
How's everybody doing today? We've had a lot happen since we were here last year. Down below the border, obviously. And 9/11, you know, it probably was kind of a sad way to wake people up, but I'm not sure it has. It seems like America's still starting to fall back to sleep. As I had said many years before, in our government down there, the government was definitely trying to make
our constitutional freedoms go away. And I remember when you guys got your guns removed up here and your crime rate went way up. And down in Southern California where I live, about the consciousness there is that people drive around in their SUVs on cell phones and have wrecks.
So it's kind of a sad state seeing where the world is today.
And running around trying to chase down Osama bin Laden. It's real interesting because I've had a tremendous input with the State Department for a number of years down there. And we do a thing called remote viewing. And years ago when I worked with the government back in the 50s, about 56, 58, 59, we were doing remote viewing experiments at the University of Michigan. And so having done that 50 years ago, almost you get pretty good at it today. And it was really interesting because on December 14th, we did some viewing and we found out exactly where Osama bin Laden was. And called the State Department up and told him what his escape route was and where he was going. He even had some drawings of buildings he was staying in. They weren't interested at all. They freaked out. As a matter of fact, I was getting clearance for the White House later on this year and they took that away.
because I presented my forum on where the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden. Anybody in here curious to know where he is? Okay. Here's what happened. He's alive. You think a man that could plot something like bringing down those two trade centers and hitting the Pentagon wouldn't be alive today? Let's ask yourself that question. We're talking about people live in the deserts, live in remote areas, act like nomads, exist on the east very little. They have a pretty high level of consciousness. Those Arabs have lived in those deserts for thousands of years. You know, and no race has really ever conquered them, ever. So what happened was, you know, I don't know if you know about his income or not, but his high source of income was heroin, poppy. And a friend of mine, Bogue Wright, some of you know, remember General Bogue Wright from the Green Berets. He had a big crusade back in the 70s against Khun Sa and the Golden Triangle in Cambodia and Laos, which is the three countries in Vietnam that raised huge amounts of heroin. And so what happens is there's these old trails that go from Afghanistan all the way up into Cambodia across the top of the Himalayas. This is north of the Himalayan mountain range, across the bottom of the Gobi Desert, and it terminates out into the Chinese area and the area of North Korea. So Osama bin Laden, in a very early stage of all of this, knew that he was going to be pretty hot. On the 14th of December, he went up through Mazar al-Sharif, which was held by the Northern Alliance. He went up in a path, it's called an opium path, up into a town north of Afghanistan called Dushanbe. You might as well probably come out in history later on. After he got up into Dushanbe, Dushanbe is a town like Baghdad was 1,000 years ago. Mystical, it's a big trading town. It's a town of outlaws. There's no CIA intelligence there. They wouldn't last 5 minutes. They'd stick out like a, they look like an FBI agent going down the hall here with glasses on, you know, sunglasses. How obvious that is. So he went across the Dushanbe, across the northern part of Tajikistan into China. And he went up into the northern part, actually the southern part of China, up into the Gobi Desert where he is now. He's currently residing in a temple up there, receiving Chinese acupuncture and different Chinese medicine types to get rid of his ailments of liver and kidney problems that have been ailing him for a number of years. So in other words, he's in rejuvenation, R&R, right now. That's where he is. I presented this on the 14th. On the 19th of December, we started going in and finding caches of Chinese weapons in Tora Bora, which then verified exactly what I had said. And then the American, I don't know how your press up here, but if you watch CNN, you know, they said, oh, it's real interesting. You know, we just found all these Chinese arms, very advanced new arms, in all these caves in Afghanistan, no sign of Osama bin Laden. So you can draw your own conclusions. They don't know how long he'll be there. I'm sure the State Department knows he's there, but in China he's protected because there the government is split between the business types and the military. And the military is definitely a fan of Osama bin Laden, and they hate America even more than the terrorists do. So that's about what's happening. There were rumors that he would come out, go further across. If you look at your maps, you'll see that he can move east and come out across the mountain ranges coming into eastern China, and he can come down into the Philippines. When this rumor got out, immediately America dispatched forces into the Philippines. So anyhow, I just want to say that's your government cover-up in action. And that's the way it goes around the world. That's the way it's been for millennia. And the sooner you wake up and realize it and don't believe a word that's in the news because it's all propaganda hyped by industrial people, you know, the big business. It's just like the unfortunate thing I'm having to deal with the school systems down in the United States because my daughter came back from going to school in England and decided to do her last year in the United States in Laguna Beach High School. And I found, when I went over to examine their curriculum, that all of the programs in high schools down there are geared to get kids through corporate America. In my time, at the end of World War II, the American school system was geared to get people into the government if they were qualified, and that's why I ended up being an MKUltra person at 11, 12 years old. So that's kind of how politics works with your kids. One of the big things that's covered up, obviously, is my subject, anti-aging. Anti-aging and getting more energy and becoming stronger with age is something that the government definitely doesn't want because it's a big detriment to your Social Security programs and your retirement programs, which have all been tapped out probably worldwide for a long time. And so as a result, a lot of the things that are made and brought into the product lines are deemed by one government or another
to be illegal. For example, when I first got into studying anti-aging and nutrition, it was back at MKUltra at the University of Michigan. We observed a bunch of people that had been in the Hiroshima Nagasaki attacks in the world. And they were, some of them were very close to the bombs when they went off, and some of them were far away. People at what we would call ground zero, which is an area where the bomb explodes, most of them were affected vastly by radiation, but a lot of them had no effects from the radiation. People far away, 30, 40 miles away, which is a long way from a nuclear blast in those days, had sometimes greater effects than people that had zero effects at ground zero, up close. And this got us into the study of, because we were already doing mind control experiments at that time, we began to understand the electrical workings of the brain and how it worked. And we found if the brain was high on electrolytes, the effects of radiation on the body would be very low. And if the brain was low in electrolytes, the effects of radiation would be detrimental to the body, causing genetic damage and later on cancer. How many of you know how radiation affects your body? When you start to really notice that, what's really happening in your body? Does anybody know? In general, it creates what's called free radicals, okay? Free radicals then start DNA and gene splicing different areas of the body and usually affect the pituitary gland in some form, which produces estrogen and testosterone. In males and females, the estrogen becomes rampant and starts going into the body, and then the immune system is affected, which then allows the virus itself to make something cancerous. Otherwise, sometimes you just end up with lumps or tumors in your body which are non-carcinogenic, non-cancerous. This is how it starts. So I also want you to remember that in the course of the last 50 years, we have exploded over 1,000 bombs in the United States and about 800 in Russia, atomic bombs. So the radiation level of this planet is up at least 15 to 20% from what it was in those times. And so all of you, if you were compared to yourselves 50 years ago, would be carrying a fairly high amount of radiation on a daily basis. This is stored in your water tables and stored in your bodies. And this, of course, causes, you know, it attacks itself to the fatty tissue first, the mammary glands in women, which causes breast cancer, and the male organs, which causes male cancer, and the cancer of the testicles, all types of male cancers that are found in the lower parts of the body, mainly prostate. And strangely enough, prostate usually comes in men after 50 years old, because if you look at the degradation or the natural erosion of the immune system by radiation and the outside environment, and another thing is lack of oxygen, it comes to about zero, the zero crossing where your vitality crosses your ability to defend against these diseases, happens around 50 years old in most genetics in males now, in Caucasian males. So going back to the University of Michigan, with the studies we were doing, we found that the people that weren't harmed by the radiation had large amounts of Fotai, ginseng, and Gotu-Koa in their bodies. Fotai, ginseng, and Gotu-Koa produced large amounts of electrolytes in the brain, which caused all parts of the electrical systems in the body to function properly. And if you start treating your body, even for energy or for clarity of thought or any of these kinds of things, if you start treating your body on the biochemical or the physical level first, in any disease or pre-disease condition, you're wasting your time. You need to go back to the parts of the body which go before biochemistry. Backwards one step is the electrical body, which is the aura and the behavior of the brain. And back before that is the body of the electrical precursation part of the body. My work has been primarily working with all three areas of the body. I've done formulations and tonics using Fotai, ginseng, Gotu-Koa, and many other herbs to take care of the biochemistry. I developed ionization systems which are used worldwide to produce negative ions for the air because of the destruction of the air by all kinds of fossil burning fuels. And we've gone into the electrical precursing energy fields, which are the most important in this time because of the high frequency that goes in our consciousness. And we're so high strung and more tuned to consciousness now than we were because we're more awake because of where we are in reverence and relevance to our rotation throughout the universe in space and time. How many of you have noticed that time has sped up a little bit? Just a bit, isn't it? Yeah.
The reason that you notice that is the fact is the electron and the proton, they have a particular behavior. And I wrote about this stuff in my book. I want to cover a couple of these subjects before I go too deep into, you know, nuts and bolts things. Everybody knows that you have an electron and a proton in your body, right? Okay, and your electron and a proton, the electron is like a electrical device, a little electrical charge, and it moves around the central nucleus, which is called the proton. The proton is 1,645 times heavier than the electron. So whatever energy that electron focuses on that proton is going to have a behavioral characteristic of that atom. The atoms, the protons and the electrons, combine rather quickly into making cells. The cells combine rather quickly at the rate of 50 million per second to make organs. And the body reproduces its entire self in 7 years. And in 3 months, it reproduces its first complete body of itself, which is the red blood cell system, in 90 days. In 6 months, a lot of organs are rejuvenated, like the liver. The liver, by the way, is considered the 1,000-year-old organ, and it's very bulletproof unless you're really, really bad to that organ. So what happens is, when you start looking at the integrity of the reproductive system over a period of time, you can subject this electron proton to a good frequency, a good environment of reproductive qualities, which enhances the durability of the organs that it's going to produce. Or over a period of time, you can put the electron and the proton in the face of negative energies and decrease the integrity of the tissue being reproduced. This then shows up in what's called DNA, our DNA. And our DNA unwinds at a certain rate over a period of time and reproduces itself so many times in a lifetime, and then it stops. But due to modern therapeutic science now, we are beginning to understand this process, including the environment, and we're making changes in the environment, allowing the process to live a much longer natural life. There are children probably present in this building today that will see their 200th birthday before they pass on. And that's a fact of life. And there's a lot of people in this building today that won't get even to a normal lifespan because of bad, deleterious practices. So these are the kinds of things that we need to start to embrace. We in science, especially myself and other scientists, began to really go into for cellular research. We really wanted to look at the behavior of the electron and the proton. And we found that the electron doesn't just go around in an orbit like we learn in school. It actually has, depending on the personality of the individual, a different type of orbital pattern. In some people, it stops and makes like an S turn, which is called a W orbital. In other people, it produces what's called a P orbital. So the orbital pattern itself in human beings varies. Then we found that not only does the orbital pattern of the electron vary quite a bit, but it actually stops for millionths of a second and does a little dance in different patterns. And during this dance, or this little pattern dance, it infuses energy into the proton, which then sends out energies to keep the electron in orbit and thus becomes a self-sustaining energy unit in our bodies. When we get in touch with this process, we can sustain life indefinitely. I know some of you in here know that I'm a Pleiadian contactee. It's been well documented for over 30 years. And the Pleiadians have a lifespan of well over 1,500 years by understanding this process. And luckily, they have been able to deliver a lot of this intelligence to our science communities. And I happen to be one of the recipients of the health side of it, as well as part of the science part of it. I'm not the only person and contactee on this planet that's ever made a difference or tried to. John Carter Sr., for example, had many dreams with extraterrestrials before he started a company called IBM. Thomas Colson and Fred Hart started a company called the National Health Federation, which was responsible for legalizing vitamins and over-the-counter supplements and freedom of health choices in the United States. Both claimed to be contactees. Nikola Tesla was a contactee. My great-great-uncle, Alexander Graham Bell, also in our family tree, has made many statements about extraterrestrial communications. So if we rely and listen to a higher self and a more evolved species, maybe we can bring some light into our own lives. This is very important. We began to study this in science also, this behavior of the electron, because in electron and proton is not just peculiar to the human body. Now, the peculiarity of the human body is that it's responsible for the seven levels of consciousness that we well know. Oftentimes I ask people what a level of consciousness is, and they really don't know. But what you have to do is go to an axiom of thought and realize a few things about life itself. One is, everything is energy. And energy follows thought, okay? Energy follows thought. If you were to look at consciousness in some manner and diagram it, in some way that you could interpret it to make your life better, to make your environment better, to make your body more healthy, and to look at it on what we call the electrical precursing level, which is the most primary level that we should look at it right now before the dream state, you would realize that sound, light, and color are basically what the human body and the whole universe are made of. In color by itself, we look at the rainbow, red through violet. Red resides on a higher plane, violet resides on a lower plane, the physical plane. In the morning when you wake up, the color red is very prevalent in the vibration of the electron, and the color red stimulates the body, bringing you out of sleep. And that stimulus that brings you out of sleep and makes you ready for the day is called the will, W-I-L-L. Its musical note would be A. That is a level of consciousness. Without it, you would go on into a peaceful sleep, and it'd be a funeral for you in a week or two later. So the will is very important. Then when you wake up in the morning, you might have a child or an animal or a pet or something that comes up to your bed or comes and embraces you. That's not what woke you up. You're already awake, but you feel that attraction for that person or that animal or something, and that's called love. And that works through the heart chakra, the heart itself. Love is a feeling. Energy follows thought. It's a level of consciousness. Do things to your body, live a life of greed or avarice, and you'll destroy the ability of the heart to express itself, and you'll calcify that part of your body, and you'll die an early death. Then a child, let's say, comes towards you and has an axe, falls down, or the animal runs into the door and hurts itself. You feel that feeling. You feel something for that creature that you feel for yourself, and that's compassion. That's another level of consciousness. It's not love. It's not what woke you up. Will. It's compassion. And that compassion feeling resides in what's called the solar plexus. Take away that problem, that energy, and you'll have digestive problems. You'll have energy problems. Your corticosteroid system will be disrupted. The thought process itself, the thinking of, you know, logic and ill and not logic, those thinking process works through the throat chakra, thyroid gland. Color is green. Another level of consciousness. Sex, reproduction, attraction for the opposite sex, or in a new society for the like sex, whatever, is a seventh level of consciousness, reproduction. It's violent in nature. Now, in order to feel those things, we have to go back to the electrical level, and you could just imagine in the universe, within the atom itself, inside the atom, in the world of subatomic physics, reside the characteristics of the energies that make these things manifest through our bodies. And that characteristic itself is under attack as it approaches our bodies, and it's destroyed by things called ELF in the Heart Project, okay? Destroys the basic characteristics. And if you look at the body on another level, the body is a mineral. The mineral body is 5% mineral. It controls 95% of metabolic functions. That's why we got into the trace mineral business years ago at my company, Paradigm. Then the body is an enzyme. The body has to be an enzyme in order to absorb minerals, in order to absorb vitamins. When you talk about enzymes, you talk about the pH factor of the body. The pH factor, potential hydrogen. If your pH factor is too acidic, you're susceptible to every disease on the planet. And if it's alkaline, you're quite bulletproof to anything. You won't even get the common cold. And that's the enzyme. Then the next part of the body is the vitamin itself. The body would define, you could define nutrition and vitamins as units of biochemistry possessing the characteristics of light. And if you start to realize, like we do muscle testing for the nuclear receptors that we make and products like that, we muscle test you for your weakest color. And if you test weak, for example, in green, we know for a fact that your thyroid is weak, your intellect is weak, and certain parts of your body are lacking in vitamin C. And so you can track all vitamins, all sounds, all colors through characteristic by understanding the basic vibrations of the seven colors and seven levels of consciousness. When the body goes from the absorbing the vitamin into the body, the vitamin energy, then it starts to compound the energy through nitrogen. Because the body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon, those are your four building blocks. Three gases and one solid. The carbon atom is a pyramid-shaped molecule. That's why we use pyramids for wearing on your head. That's the way people sleep in pyramids from our pyramid company. That's why there's pyramids on the nuclear receptor. Because it causes the proper combination of the three gases to form other solids in the body. The first being the fifth element of the body, which is called sulfur, which strangely enough is a detoxing agent. So we need lots of sulfur in our bodies. In this combining process, we produce protein from nitrogen. The protein then brings us into the amino acid chain. The amino acids then combine into what are called peptides, polypeptides, neuropeptides, three peptides, which work through three central nervous systems, and they in turn form hormones in the body. The hormone, it could be defined as the first unit of biochemistry. Remember, the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness. If you have a deficiency in your environment, you'll have a break in the chain, you'll have a deficiency in the protein, and you'll have an abnormality of the content of hormone quality in your body. One of the interesting things that I did in a lot of research with universities all over the world when we did negative ionization studies was the lack or the misrepresentation of a hormone called vasopressin in the body. Vasopressin is made up of lysine and arginine, two amino acids, and nicotinic acid, niacin, or B3. Those three things combine to form a hormone when stimulated by ionization or relaxation, creates a feeling of well-being and mental integrity. If you are exposed for more than 8 minutes of carbon monoxide from a car driving by or an airplane flying over, you will have 24 hours of symptoms that will take you away from the integrity of having a well-balanced being and a good feeling. And you'll have a decrease of dopamine, another hormone in the body, which will then cause you to become nervous and you'll turn to not only prescription drugs, but alcoholism and other forms of drug problems that people go to. This is common in our society. When you look at this situation over time, or what we call the electrical precursation element, and time means that over 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, especially after the age of 30, because at 30, after you're 30 years old, the organs in your body start shrinking, getting smaller, at the rate of 5% every 10 years. The thymus gland, for example, in a small boy, weighs about 1/4 pound. At 50 years old, in the average human being, you can't even find it. At 80, it's disappeared. Okay? Thank God for the growth hormone because it brings that back, which we'll talk about. I'm just showing you a little bit of how your body works and why you act the way you do. And we found that people driving on freeways or flying in jet planes for more than 7 years have such an abnormal production of vasopressin that their flight or fright syndrome turns into absolute violence. And so now you have road rage and air rage. It's not a psychological problem. It is a physical problem. It has been demonstrated to be a physical problem. And the drug companies don't want you to know about that at all, because that would sure kill Prozac sales if people woke up and knew how to do something about these feelings of depression and mood deprivation that we get. It's so sad to know about these things. And another thing, if you have a deficiency, for example, of B3, niacin, typically what you'll end up doing is becoming a smoker. Why? Because nicotinic acid looks like nicotine. And nicotine almost looks like B3, except when you smoke a cigarette, you get a hit of fake nicotinic acid in about 3 seconds, whereas if you start taking niacin tablets, it's going to take about an hour or two to get that same rush. But when I take people off of smoking and make them stop smoking tobacco, it's so easy because I just introduce niacin and vitamin C into their daily routine over a period of time and tell them to smoke away. Pretty soon their cigarette gets to be boring. They pick it up and light it up and they realize, yuck, and they start smelling themselves and how horrible it is, and they don't do it anymore because they have picked up a level of consciousness that the cigarette has taken away from them. Those are the kinds of things that you need to know about. And when you start to understand them, it makes life a whole lot better. I did a lot of formulating all over the world for many companies. Many vitamins on the market have my influence somewhere in the label or behind them. I remember another thing we discovered quite a number of years ago. When you start to come down with a seasonal virus, which is an attack on your immune system, which is now sending you to, if you're not strong, an involuntary cleanse or a disease, antigen buildup. We found that if you would put a mineral in your body ahead of vitamin C, that your body probably wouldn't come down with a full term of the disease, meaning a viral cold or a rhinovirus of some sort, but your body would reverse itself before the symptoms bottomed out and got into your system. Because what happens is, when a virus is attacking your immune system, your body, the cells, the immune system is now surrendered to the virus, and the virus is taking over the immune system. If you feed the immune system or the body vitamin C while the body's under attack, what happens is the virus is good. I got vitamin C. That's more food. It's eating your body. So you have to change the frequency of your immune system and then put your vitamin C in. Chromium picolinate was found to be a very strong, and chromium comes in many, many different forms to the body. But we found that many forms of chromium picolinate was one of them. And when you put that in your body for about 8 or 10 hours, when you start to come down with the symptoms of a disease, the disease probably will go away in 16 hours. Whereas if you start taking vitamin C, you're probably going to have it for 2 or 3 weeks or longer, depending on your immune system. When I began to formulate these vitamins around the world, it was real interesting how it went, because when I went to Japan, where I did several formulas, they said, okay, Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotokol are just fine. You know, all these countries have FDAs, or the equivalent of them. I don't know what the one, I know the one in Canada up here well. They said, Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotokol is fine. Okay, so then I says, okay, well, how about we put chromium picolinate in to prevent disease? Oh, no, you can't do that. Drug. Can't have that. So then we go over to Europe. In Germany, I formulated in Austria, Switzerland, and Germany. Those three have about the same FDA, controlled by the German group. I said, well, why don't we put chromium picolinate in the vitamins? They said, fine. I said, let's also put in Fotai, Ginseng, Gotokola. Oh, no, you can't do that. These are tonics. Can't have that. Can't put them in there. I came up here to Canada with my protein powder. How much protein powder can you buy up here in real great strength? Not from the United States you can't, because they wouldn't let us bring it in, because it's considered a drug, amino acids. Protein powders, in my formulas, we use lysine and arginine, because lysine and arginine produce vasopressin. And I figure that most people that are able to go to the store and buy vitamins are susceptible to carbon monoxide poisoning. And as a result of that, they need to have lysine and arginine. So we put that in as a standard issue. And if you buy the vitamins from us, we can send them up to you, and they don't get hassled, because it's only 2 of 200 ingredients. Now, how many of you have gotten into the human growth hormone, HGH, up here? A few of them. How many of you have got into it and didn't notice a difference? First of all, anybody? One person? You did not notice the difference right away. It's a subtle change, aging and anti-aging. Those of you that want a little information on human growth hormone, some of the things that you don't notice that it does on everyone. So we have it in a spray form from Eli Lilly. And by the way, if you get hold of an amino stack, a thing that's got 20,000 different amino acids on it, that's not a human growth hormone. The human growth hormone has only one thing in it, human growth hormone, and that's it. In our case, we use some of Flanagan's microcluster crystals in the water to preserve the integrity of the growth hormone. Other than that, there's no additives. But one of the first things that happens with a person past 30 is that on the left atrium of the heart, the muscle tissue starts to grow back. It's deteriorating. So that by the time you're 40, if you take it for 10 years, your heart will be as strong as it was at 20. Now, you won't notice that in the first year or two, but you'll notice it in 5 or 6, because you'll find that when you start to go, I work out a lot, not as much as these WWF guys that are running around here, but I do work out quite a bit. And then sometimes I get bored with it. I'm just not a workout person, but I do it. I've been running all my life. So I'll stop for 2 or 3 months, and then I'll start working out again. As soon as I start working out again, I have the same energy. I don't notice a drop off in energy at all, because the muscle tissue is growing back to such a point that the heart doesn't get weak, as it does when we get older and then go sporadically between workouts. Human growth hormone is responsible for that. Second thing is the thymus gland. The thymus gland is part of your immune system. It's responsible for producing white blood cells, phagocytes, which go after and attack different bad alien things that come in the body. You won't feel that growing back to normal size. It won't affect your consciousness other than a better feeling of well-being. But the fact is, it does grow back to normal size. The liver itself also grows back to normal size. After about 5 or 6 years, a person that's 50 years old will have the same size liver as a person 20. That doesn't mean you can go out and start partying again like you did at 20. I wouldn't recommend it, but your body won't fall apart. It has a lot greater integrity. These are things that happen with the human growth hormone that you don't notice, okay? Now, if you want to notice something and you've never taken it and you feel that at some point you're going to start to take it, go down and get some blood tests first. Get a PSA count. Get a cholesterol count. Because these are the things that you're going to want to have fun watching when you start taking the human growth hormone, because it will change. The PSA count in men drops. Okay? The cholesterol drops in men and in women by 50%. The LDL cholesterol, the bad one. The HDL cholesterol rises, which is good. The friendly cholesterol in the body is better. It goes up. This is good because this lubricates synovial joints in the body. The lower back pains start to go away. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes 6 months, a year. Now, what does happen overnight when you start using human growth hormone is that in males, the testosterone level goes up 25 to 40% in 2 weeks. That you will notice in most people. So there are many, many different things, and we've done studies on it now with people starting at 80 years old and seeing results, decrease in arthritic symptoms, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to read about it from somebody that has nothing to do with me, get the Growing Young with HGH book from Amazon.com by Dr. Ronald Klatz, K-L-A-T-Z, President of the America Anti-Aging Society medical doctor. Okay, Ronald Klatz, Growing Young with HGH. HGH has been here since 1950. It was introduced in the United States to children that were born without it that would have normally died within a few years, and most of them grew to a normal growth. Later on, it was made by a vegetable synthesis program, process using organic vegetable extracts in a natural way, because the human HGH and the deer antler stuff all was found to oftentimes be tainted by Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease or mad cow disease. And this was a real problem with taking animal sources for this type of hormone in the body. It was created by God, not man. It has 231 amino acids, I believe. It's pretty interesting. Any questions, by the way, on human growth hormone before I move on? I just want to cover that. Yeah, go ahead. It's manufactured by Eli Lilly. It's a plant extract process, so it's an organic material. It's classified as a drug. A hormone is classified as a drug. But it's been released, because of the what we call in the United States the ADACHA Act, it's been released in a spray form now. For a long time, only affluent people could afford it. It was $38,000 a year to take it, and it took an injection of 1 to 6 international units per week to maintain a noticeable difference in the aging process and stop the aging process and reverse the aging process in a lot of cases. But now that it's in a spray form, it's a much easier, it's affordable. It's like $1,200 a year. You have another question? No, I'm saying that plants become a protein source. And there's a lot of ways you can synthesize protein, or you can manufacture it and extract it. They use them. Eli Lilly is good about that. They have a hydroponic gardens where they manufacture and grow these plants. And these plants are then, for example, Flanagan's microclusters, which are very popular in water today for alkalizing the body, are made from plant tissue, plant cell extract. So these are all extracts. What? No, they're not genetically engineered to do anything. They're just ordinary plants. A lot of amino acids in the very high-end range, the expensive amino acids, come from plants. They're manufactured that way. It's not like, don't compare that with the 3M company down here that hybridizes corn. How many of you are familiar with hybridized corn? Okay, that's a corn that if you eat it, it could cause genetic damage because it only lives on a fertilizer that's also synthetic. And so as a result, when you get hybridized corn, You put it in a normal field with, you know, manure, natural organic fertilizer, it won't grow at all. It'll die. You don't want to put that in your body. Nor do you want to put irradiated foods in your body. But unfortunately, when you go to the supermarket, 90% of your food's irradiated anyway. You know, the tomatoes are full of arsenic because they use it for caterpillars, and it goes on and on and on. So you have to build your immune system. So life extension and making your life better for the sake of just living gives you a better quality of life, if not another single year. I'd rather have, if I couldn't gain another single year, at least I'd have a better quality of what I'm living and not have any days of sickness and not get up in the morning stiff and can't walk. I like to wake up in the morning feeling good and go out jogging. That's the way it should be for everybody at any age.
Well, anyhow, that's as far as we can go today. So we're up to the 55-minute limit. So we shall continue with this, of course. Don't you're used to hearing that? To be continued next week. Actually, week after next.